Right.
The only trouble I had with those people, one time they gave me some hamburger that was fatty. It just like looked like the place was on fire, you know. Yeah. I don't know where that came from because
you wanted the marble and you got it. Yeah.
But there is a great other stuff's great. Our friends gave us pack for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we went through that. That's good.
Okay. I did
mix things.
Sherry's berries to everybody this year. And they were very well received. Sherry's berries are strawberries about that big around, covered in chocolate, and they have designs all over.
Neat. So we're going to come to order, I guess. It's February 21st, this Tuesday, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a City County quarterly update. And we've got Aaron Kubik and Council President Mr. Roller and Dandy Young. Commissioner Morgan, I believe, is in Salem.
I think she's testifying. Are they going to shut that?
Yeah.
We are sure we are.
You don't have to do there. Didn't
do any
good, did it?
Thanks, Commissioner.
There you go. Yeah,
actually.
It works. Watch it thunder right over there.
Yeah.
It's coming out. I think it's spring.
Coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for coming. Is the mayor joining us, not this morning?
He may be.
Okay.
Yes.
It's on his calendar. Great. Well, really appreciate you guys coming over. It looks like we're going to see you later on today.
Yes.
At your guys' workshop. Looking forward to that. So maybe we could talk about, are there any specific questions or something you want us to be prepared for today's law enforcement kind of joint meeting on that? Any direction? We're proposing a levy for the May ballot, 93 cents, and a non-binding question about cannabis, recreational cannabis being grown on rural residentially zoned properties in the county outside the city.
We're trying to limit it on rural residential, so it pushes it back into the city.
Excellent.
We've started some process about a text amendment to our code, but really felt that there was a need for greater direction from the citizens. I didn't attend the town halls that were hosted from a standpoint that I'm not really sure that those are always productive. People who feel passionate about one way or the other, typically the way it comes out, if you really want to get a feel for the community, you need to get out into the community and just drive neighborhoods, talk to people, or ask this non-binding question. Will be the seventh one that I've ever asked. The eighth one, I think, in our history, only one question asked prior to that. I think it's going to be a good question. I think it's not really definitive in my mind which way it's going to go, and hopefully there's some direction. So, but the levy element, we're at a point in our fiscal situation where we've got limited reserves and a significant hole. It's a $3.7 million shortfall to just maintain the status quo. That would include your guys' contract, which I guess we're going to approve this Wednesday. Really appreciate that. Sorry you have to do it. Ideally, we would like to have contract beds for anybody, that they should be available for the county. That's a county jail. It was built with that intent back in 1999, and the jail bond expires this year. In November, it will be the last year of collections on people's tax bills. So really, the 93 cents is more of like an 80 cent mm-hmm. addition to their permanent tax rate, and it's for a five-year duration of time, given that we need a bridge funding to really have some solutions from ONC kind of resolved. We've got a number of different legal cases that are pending on that, but at least three that I can think of right now. The ONC associations just filed litigation against the administration on the expansion of the Siskiyou Crest, which included 400 acres of ONC.
Yeah.
They sued separately. That's another case. But it's the same case. It's just they're doing it as a private organization.
Oh, okay.
We are one of the 17 counties in the ONC associations that's litigating on that. We had hoped to do it with OFIC or AFRC, both of those forest-related advocacy groups, but they chose to go a different path. And then we've got two ONC lawsuits on the recent resource management plan and then the previous management plan, the Northwest Forest Plan. So. Should have, and then there's a Lane County suit that's being litigated by the conservation community in Lane County on the idea that some of the rulemaking authority within the existing or the proposed resource management plan, the adopted resource management plan, is not appropriate. And I think that's for a venue argument that they filed in Eugene. All the other ONC cases are filed in the D.C. District Court, and they're looking, agencies looking to try to pull those cases and put them into basically the Ninth Circuit's jurisdiction, where we have not always favored well. So we're trying to keep them all in D.C., and I think that's going to be well served. But anything you wanted to add to the levy question?
Yeah, we hosted a, I guess you'd call it a summit. It was a law enforcement summit where we brought in six of the people that are usually standing out front with signs yelling and screaming, no new taxes. We brought them in and hosted that last Tuesday. And it was a two-hour session. It fell short of my mark of what I expected, but however, it was a good first starting shot across the bow. We got good feedback from them, from some of the people. Some of the people we knew we weren't going to get any feedback but negative from, and of course we knew who those were. But we have, you know, we've opened a dialogue with four out of the six, and I think that was very important with their concerns as to what it was. We mapped out exactly what the reason why we went that way, why we went with the dates we went with, and why, you know, the sheriff was here, Sheriff Daniel was here, and he basically gave him his proposal and why he did it and why he wants it. And of course, there's a tendency in all the other ones in years gone by to just keep stacking stuff on. Well, you know, this needs a little nudge and this needs, and before you know it, you're back up to that $1.40, $1.50 range. And they've said over and over and over, the voters said no to that. And when we don't know what that is, it the amount that they're backing away from, what is it? We know there's a serious trust issue. We know we don't have time to build that trust as we would adequately like to, but we weren't put into this. I've had some private citizens call me and voice their opinion. And I said, you know, if everybody else would have done their job years ago, I wouldn't be here in this situation. But I was placed here. It's not by my doing. I didn't want it this way. I wanted it to all be taken care of before I even got into office, and that didn't happen. Well, now we're up against the 11th hour. And, you know, there's some talk about saying, well, there's other things you could do to kind of work your way through, but none of those are financially good policies to go by. You know, some of them are, you know, spend down your reserve down to zero. And I'm looking at it from a family man thinking, okay, I've got my family screaming and hollering, they want to go to pizza, but I'm looking at a refrigerator and cupboards that are empty. My obligation to my family is to fill the refrigerator and the cupboards, then you go to pizza. You don't spend your last dollar on pizza and then want to know what everybody, because they're all going to come back to you the next day and say, what are we going to eat now, Dad? And I didn't, and I was remiss in my obligation as a father to feed them. And so we're kind of, that's the way I look at this thing here. We could certainly spend everything down to the last dollar, there's no doubt.
And really, in your analogy, only one of your five kids, proportionally,
yeah,
is asking for pizza.
Exactly.
Everybody else is not going to get any of this.
Yep. And so when we get down to it, you know, when we get there, we could certainly spend it all down. But is that leadership? No. Is that something? I don't think the city of Grants Pass would do that. If you were in the flip situation and city of Grants Pass was down to their last $200, would you put food in the cupboard with it or keep it for, you know, hey, we'll trickle it out, we'll live as long as we can? Or would you say, nope, we're all going to go out to dinner, we're going to have those big steaks we were talking about? I don't think that would happen.
I think we'd go plant a garden. We go plant a garden.
Yeah, and that would.
We have done that.
That's certainly.
We have 30,000 acres of trees. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
And we were managing the heck out of those when I first.
But that's where we're at. We did call for, and we've got, like I said, we've got another meeting scheduled for 2 weeks from last Tuesday, so it'd be a week from today.
So with that summit that you had, I guess two questions or one comment and a follow-up question is, knowing the individuals that were in the room, they're quick to say no to a number of things that come up. But constructively, I haven't heard much coming from that group. So did you get a feeling for, did they express what their true interests are when it comes to the criminal justice system? Do they believe that there's an issue? Do they not believe there's an issue? Is it just about, we don't want to pay for it, but we think that it needs service? I mean, what is their true interest? Because I haven't heard what their true interest is constructively.
Two absolute no's. You're never going to get them to do it because one of them is a libertarian and he's no new taxes no matter what. It doesn't matter. And we know who that is Mr. Seligman. Mm-hmm. Some of the other ones, though, and Aaron, I'm not really you know, how many times have I asked? And you know this, okay? So you say no. What is your solution? I don't have any solution. I just stopped on Chairman Hare because he says, well, we got this, and this. And what I set out at this at the summit was, tell me your timeline. You're asking, we have to build a bridge to something. When is that something? If we got an ONC lawsuit going, when do I get the check? And how much is it going to be for? Nobody can answer that. So therefore, we don't know what. That's why we went to 5 years instead of 3 or 2 or whatever, because we know everything's out there at least 5 years from now. We don't want to be back doing this again and again. If it goes down in flames, it goes down in flames. The people have spoken, yeah. And I've had a couple of people that call over the weekend, and I've been at this all weekend. When I got back from Salem on Saturday night, my phone was ringing. And when I got all done, one of these people was very involved in cuffs. And I said, you know, at cuffs, I wanted to bring those no people in. Dr. Manroth said, absolutely not. You don't care about them. They're going to vote no anyway. What do you give a ripple? All I need to do is move that needle a little bit. And maybe going under a dollar moves it a little bit. And then maybe Joseph Rice and his 2,200 followers in the Oath Keepers and whatnot. If he can go to them and say, you know, I sat in on the meeting, I was invited to the meeting, and I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, but I see where they're coming from now, and you know what, I think I can go along with that. All we need is to move that needle a little bit, and maybe we can pull this thing off. But if to say, no, we need to do this, and this, does that mean you're not in? And that's the question I asked at the end of the day. I said, so I can't count on you to say yes, and your whole group is right now. You tell me you want this. You tell me you want law enforcement. You tell me you want a jail. You tell me. But if it isn't going your way on the dates you want it to go, are you out? Just tell me you're out. That's all you need to do. I'll accept it. But I'm not going to be kind when I do accept it. So that's the thing. If we're all in this together, why can't we all on a time frame? We're talking a time frame going in May, and we've talked heavily about that. We're, like I said, put into the situation, June 30th, that's the end of it. From June 30th on, we're tapping into reserves that really aren't even reserves anymore. One of the road reserve, guess what? Then we had the storm of all storms. We've got landslides, we've got washed out bridges.
Yeah.
We had a little more than $2 million in that reserve fund. Guess where it's at now? It's all in limbo. We have no idea. FEMA's going to take care of Sand Creek Bridge. I don't think they are. If they do, it'll be a matching fund, and we need that $2 million for match. I'm in Salem, and do you know right off the top of your head how many reserve dollars, road dollars at Kalamazoo County has?
99.
How many?
99.
It's 96 now. They were going to invest $3 million before they came to the meeting the other day.
Wow.
Million.
Yeah.
That's their reserve. That's not their day-to-day effort.
That's considered a reserve. What you have is not considered a reserve.
No, absolutely not.
There's no money in it.
No.
We're not meeting our minimum requirement.
No.
We're at a quarter of our minimum maintenance requirement. So if we have 580 miles of road, we're supposed to be doing about 50 miles every year on a 10-year rotation. And we're doing like 25% every other year.
So we're way behind. And another thing is, but one of the things...
And we lost that $1 million. That's windfall payment? No. It's always $1 million. Mm-hmm. But not anymore.
No.
It's gone.
And another thing that we're doing in response to that, though, we're doing the exact same thing we did over across the pond. We're starting to audit. And Public Works is there. They're going to undergo some real serious scrutiny. I got off the phone last week before I left.
Well, I would think that you're going to find if you do something like that, the commissioners should be able to write a book and have a session at conferences around the nation on how to run a lean machine. I mean, building trust.
That should be our trade sector element.
It totally should be.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be marketing it this way. You're talking trust, you're talking all this kind of stuff. The fact is, we're running a county at 58 cents per thousand.
Right.
Give me a break. You guys are doing a phenomenal job, and the community is doing a phenomenal job to have an operational county with that kind of tax base.
Yeah.
That's what we should be promoting, and that should be building trust, because look at what we're doing for 58 cents.
That's exactly what we're doing. Lily and I go to county college every month. That's what we did last week. We had the Association of Oregon Counties. Their people came up to us. I said, you know, I'm sorry we asked so many questions and have so many comments. No, keep it up. You guys, this class is the talk at the Capitol. When those presenters come to you and say, well, we've heard you guys are the toughest thing that's ever come around. And there are. There are 31 of them. And we're from Harney County. We're from Maui, Wallawa. We're all, most of us are rural counties. And we're talking to urban people. And they don't get it. But they're getting it now. And we're asking some really, and they said, we're starting an exchange student program where Jerry from up in Sherman County. He says, I want to come down and spend some days with you and Lily. I want to spend some days in your courthouse to see how it's done. I said, hey, we're at 58 cents. They said, but you've got a smile on your face and you laugh. You're having a good time. I said, we've lived it for so long, we're used to it. I said, we know exactly what it's like. We know what it is. We know what top ramen tastes like every day. And if you're lucky, we'll heat it up. We have a solar oven that we can heat it up because we don't have a microwave. I said, we live it every day, and we're willing to teach anybody. Because we're not, this is not a big deal. When Kate Brown, Governor Brown came down with her cut, we're already there. We're already there. We don't have a problem.
Sure be nice to just have 10% cut. What did you guys have? Anything you wanted to chat about?
Well, today, of course, we've got the joint session, and you were asking sort of about, is there anything, you know, in advance, and we don't have any specific agenda established.
Yeah.
I think I've got a slide for each item just to try to put it in perspective, but Council President might be able to elaborate more on this. From a criminal justice standpoint, seeing that one, which is first on the agenda, I believe, then it's the marijuana tax distribution. The criminal justice standpoint, I know there's been some discussion or concern about the level of service that's going to continue at the jail, the 100 beds, and we appreciate that you're, right now and where we're at in the future, and if it doesn't pass, all of that. But one of the things that is the concern is that may be asked is if, say, it was not at 100 beds, that I think the council understands and recognizes.
You mean anticipating a reduction? Yeah, we're at 130 right now.
You're at 130 with our 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything less than 100 changes the way we utilize our 30. That's the concern that I think city council might want to address.
And that is a concern. Do you know what our obligation to the state is and so on and so forth? Do you know those obligations? There would be information that would be helpful.
I have a breakdown. I know in general a breakdown of where the beds are, 30 for this, 10 for this, that kind of thing. And so if you're talking about that obligation,
yeah,
I've got that. I could put that maybe in a slide.
I think that would be valuable to the council.
Yeah.
So that they know that there's a certain amount of beds that are obligated to other people besides the city of Grand Theft and Josephine County. Does that make sense?
But our responsibility and obligation to the contract that you are renewing this Wednesday with the board, it's the same. And it only is coming in to a change, would need a change, an amendment, if we fell below 90 beds, is what the sheriff has said.
Mm-hmm.
80, 90, then you start saying there's certain things that are not able to have that minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not anticipating a change in that structure. This year.
So 100 still leaves you 10.
You'll still be okay at that one. It's the following year that we will have utilized some reserves in order to maintain that. He is $2.1 million shy this year. If the levy doesn't, that's to maintain status quo of 130 beds.
Mm-hmm.
Likely it'll be a combination of what I would imagine we would propose as a reduction in that number to probably what you're talking about. Maybe 110, and we shore that up with some reserves, and
that would be 18-19 fiscal year. Is that
this proposed fiscal year, which is 17-18?
Okay.
To move forward in July, so it'll be a reduction, but it won't be a total reduction, and it won't be a total shoring up to maintain exactly what it is. If it doesn't pass. That's exactly what I would anticipate doing.
That kind of information, I think, is would counsel.
Now, the board hasn't discussed that, but honestly, this is not my first rodeo with how I would propose that we move forward. Negative or not supported reactions by the voters are also a mandate to me that, no, that is not a priority. So spending your reserves is not okay with you. Spending my reserves, the county's reserves, is not okay with me. Spending a little bit to maintain some level of continuity that is important. And so that's what my recommendation would be to the board. I don't want to get into exactly what it's going to look like because we really haven't had that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But where I've come from, had 160 beds when I took office, down to, you know, probably right in that 110 range. We'd need that because we'd need 20 local beds to maintain the current level of Measure 11 offenders, which would be the highest offenses. But that's probably what it'll look like, something. And then you could maintain that level for probably 2 years of a 2.1. But see, another reduction that we're anticipating is not the $2.3 million from shared receipts. I would anticipate that was under the Northwest Forest Plans ASQ. Long story short, that's going to probably go down again. And it could go down to $2 million. It could go lower than that. It's not like an appropriation where we know there's a floor. It's told, you know, years in advance of where it's going to be. We just don't know. So, but your guys' contract will be maintained through 17-18 as the contract specifies in intent.
But you don't know. You don't know what level. Let's say outside of our.
You contracted 30 beds.
Oh yeah, but
your level stays the same.
How about your level? What's it going to be?
It will not stay the same with this.
How low will it go? Do you have any idea? 80-90, you said.
Well, it's false to say 80-90.
Okay.
Because of the breakdown of how, and that's what I think Commissioner DeYoung
I want to know what
about.
Our minimum is. What is our obligation?
You don't really care about those 10 ISIS beds and the 10 corrections beds and the other. You care about what the county has.
Right.
And the county would have access to like 20, 30 beds in that scenario outside of yours. That's all we would be paying for. And so that's not much. That's, I mean, with 11, 12 measure murder offenders,
there's
only room for 8 other people coming in from the county to have a problem. That's not good, you know.
Well, that was a big deal, like Aaron said, to the council, because the vote on renewing the contract was 4-3. And the reason that 3 voted against it was because they said, well, how do we know how many beds are going to be there to add on our 30 beds? So we might just be subsidizing the county because we're not having as many beds as we thought we were going to have. So, and they wanted to write a contingency into it, saying that if you guys don't reach 100 beds, then we're not contracting with you. And,
I think that's fair.
Well, I just...
Logically, that's a challenging thing to deal with.
I just,
so you're not providing a minimum, which we may not have the ability to do.
Right.
You're not going to do any, which compounds the problem.
Well, it's like Domino, it's falling over.
Yeah,
and so...
At 80 or 90, we would seriously consider meeting that threshold of saying, if that wasn't received well, it doesn't get any better than this 93-cent proposal, which is really 80 new cents. The drawing board is, there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the last ditch proposal. After that, I don't know what it makes sense to come back. We start looking at a long-term plan of shutting the jail down and contracting out with just the services that we need as opposed to having all those others in a very serious way. This is it, you know, because
mm-hmm. right.
Commissioner DeYoung was talking about going to any other election doesn't serve the need. It puts it off to a point where we can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to get there so far. At some point, you know, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
If we have something that's going to break, that the wave's going to crest and break next month or 2 months or even next year that we can count on, hey, we can ride it out. I would be in favor of saying, you know what, we know we're going to get a check from that O&C lawsuit. We're going to get a check on such and such a date in 2018. If we could plan on that, great, we're in good shape. We would. We'd use those reserves and just work right up to it because it'd be seamless.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is, you use the reserve. Now we're bringing the chains and the padlock. And we're going out there to the jail, and we're looping a chain through the gate, and that's the end of it.
Because I would rather spend $2 million for a guaranteed... You guys are renting 30 beds
mm-hmm.
for $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm getting less than that because I'm having to pay for infrastructure
right.
for
yeah.
a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
rather say, forget it, I'm sorry, other people, that contract isn't worth it. I'm going to spend $2 million, $3 million for 60, 90 beds. And you guys might have to do the same thing going up to Douglas County or Jackson County. And that's just the way it works. And I think that's bang for the buck, better spent incarcerating people that we need to have done
And the travel back and forth, then you say, okay, fine, well, we'll send them over. We can't send them to Jackson County, they're full. Mm-hmm. We'll send them to Douglas County. You have to motor those people back and forth to court.
Yeah.
And it just does it to transportation. And we're not alone in this. Well, Lava County, they have a jail, but they don't use it. They can't use it. They have enough money to fund it, so they use it. They, I guess, the next county over. But that's where they send all their
prisoners.
There's just a lot with what could happen if say, the 100 beds weren't there and they had to be reduced even by 10 beds or whatever,
yeah.
Your usage of the county's 20 to 30 bed. The concern that we have is, of course, we've got many things coming up. We still have a public safety levy that we may be going for. The trust in the community is a big thing. Council's been focused on trust for a number of years and building that. As soon as anything goes below 100, that's not in addition to our 30, that could really start eroding the trust, and that's where council's concerned. If, for instance, the jail bed, instead of 130 with our 30, was now down to 120, then those extra 10 beds that are missing will have an effect on the streets here in Grants Pass.
Right.
And that will start eroding the trust of, hey, we're paying a utility fee and we're not getting the same service for what we put into it, aren't we?
That's an argument you could make right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's really not much of a difference between...
You don't even need to.
I see the practicality of it. The argument, the logic there that you're paying for it right now anyway. You shouldn't have to be doing that.
Well, you shouldn't.
Yeah,
I understand that.
One of the things that I think needs to be said loud and clear is that it's not this board that's going to take a batter. And if you say, no, we're not going to buy those, if it drops below a certain thing, we're not going to buy the 30 beds. And what are you going to do then? You know, that is a program that's extremely popular amongst your law enforcement, and it's extremely popular amongst your citizens. And to say, okay, we're going to put a criteria on. You get 30 beds, you get 30 beds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you're buying is 30 beds. What we need to do is keep the facility open at any level so you get your 30 beds.
And I definitely think the service level at 130 is very popular. The utility fee has mixed some people don't like it, but for the most part, it's a funding mechanism.
Right.
Of course, we'd like to have it much different system than what we've got right now. But.
And we would like to fix it, but we can't. Another thing is, and if the levy in May passes, you basically we're going up to 185 cents. So your $3.84, I'm assuming, would go away.
It would.
Because we would be able to service.
Yeah.
The grant that's one of the one of the things that you can take in favor of. If the city decides, we're not gonna back this because we don't want you to go in May of 17 for whatever reason, then we can't help you.
Well, I think
that's one caveat that you guys can use as a selling point to the citizens of Grants Pass. If you decide to get on board and back it, if you decide not to get on board and remain neutral, then you just remain neutral.
Well, targeting the selling point that you mentioned, this would be a good opportunity today during the workshop to talk to a different audience, those that view our workshop versus maybe the county.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to sell that action that you took.
It's specifically outlined in the levy proposal that city contract will be removed. It takes two people to enter into a contract. With the levy passing, the county would not enter into a contract with you guys.
So we talked one time, Simon, about what happens to the money that used to go to the jail and we talked about patrols, enable patrols to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
but then we also talked about prosecution, which was kind of up in the air. And
both
if
of
we
those will be funded appropriately.
But if it passes, they'll all be funded appropriately, prosecution,
all of those,
plus patrol?
Not appropriately, but
no.
They'll...
Okay.
Appropriation is the right word.
Will be funded,
it's
though.
Not the right use of it. All of those general fund dollars that are currently allocated to the mm-hmm. law enforcement system on the county side will remain in the county's appropriations. So it'll be distributed to patrols in the DA. With this levy passing, it will not be supporting the juvenile detention facility. Those three contract beds we have in Douglas County, those will be provided for out of this contract. In reopening the justice shelter, so there's really nowhere else for it to go but to patrols and the DA. That's all that's left. And frankly, the DA is down one district attorney from when I took office in 2011, where the jail was at 160 beds. He'll probably need that one back, so that's what we'll do. But that's probably the level that it'll stay at, and then all of the remaining dollars will go to the patrol element. So I would see making the district attorney whole for 160 beds, trying that for a year, because it'll take a year for him to ramp up from the position that we're in currently at 130, and then moving and see how that works out over time. The other revenue stream that we're working on that I think is going to be hopefully better than my pessimistic attitude is the timber lands the county manages. So we're proposing to put up 6.5 million board feet, of which we get 50% in the first year, and we're expecting those sales to be pretty good, right around $400 a thousand, and because they're the right kind of sales. We're listening to the market. We're putting up twice as much timber, and we're putting up sales that the market wants to buy. They're easy sales, so I think we're going to be doing really well with that, and we might have more more than we currently have in the kitty. So I think it's going to be really positive if it passes.
One of the things, the statistics that we really want to look at also is when you're talking about prosecution. Between 2012 and now, the DA has worked on twice. It was 871 in 2012, and he's like 1,700 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Cases that he's prosecuted with the same work with the same people. We've also made application for a fifth judge.
Yeah,
we have four judges now. We made application for a fifth judge, so that might speed things through as far as the prosecution. The absolute taking the guy out of our system here, moving him out of our system here, either by warrant from someplace else. The key to this whole thing is that if we can get people checked into the jail, that's when you have a captive audience. You find out the guy's got a warrant in Wallawa County, you go, hey, you're out of here. They're bringing the case truck down and you're gone. And we're done with him locally. And if you look at the participation in the DA's office, our sheriff in 2012, he was responsible for 4% of the total caseload of the DA's office. Last year he was 12%. So 12%, and it doubled that because we've doubled it. This sheriff, with less money, because his money goes down every year, he's done more with less money. That's a testament to the sheriff and the new sheriff in town and a new way of doing things.
Yeah.
So we're taking more people off the streets, whether it's in the county, in the city, or whatever. We're running them through our system as fast as we can. Do some fall through the cracks? The kid that stole my truck, you bet he did. But he's gone anyway because Douglas took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be on the par with Douglas County and some of the other counties that where we are known. I think that's one of the reasons we have a problem here. We're known as a revolving door. We need to stop that. And we can stop that by having a bed so you can say, yep, I'm not full out here at the end. I've got 17 beds wide open. And that's what Chief Landon says. He'll tell you, without those beds, you know how many people he would not be able to let? He'd just be turning them loose.
Oh, yeah.
And how many serious criminals can he turn loose before we can put them in jail? Then they're taken over by the sheriff's department, and that's where we can do our job. But if we don't have the money and the capital, the revenue to do our job, it's useless for you guys to be there. It is. Public safety puts the cuffs on. We take the cuffs off. Prosecution sends them up north or sends them wherever they need to be. This all works together, and you guys know as well as I do. So we ought to cut one piece of that pie out, one piece of pie. That's not a whole pie anymore. Not a whole wheel. It's going to get awful lumpy out there. But I think, you know, I think the sheriff's done, and you talk about prosecution, and will some of this go to them? I think Chairman has a real good point. If we get one more deputy DA in here, it'll make a big difference. And the people are going to start seeing that.
I think we're going to have a fair amount of time at lunch to talk about. So if there were any specific questions, I've got a list of things that I'd like to go over real quick.
Sure.
The first one is really small. It's a crosswalk at Northeast F Street and Northeast Beacon Drive. Its location, if you're not 100% familiar, is directly across from the door, Duncan's place. They've asked for a crosswalk for their employees to be able to utilize on their lunch breaks or whatever, and those are staggered throughout the day, so it's not all one time a day, but to go over to the Cartwright and Fred Meyer, they walk, and they just would like a crosswalk there. And I don't know if they've raised that issue with you guys, but
I think they have, and we've had community development look at that, and there's some concerns with that location. But I forget what the details were. It was months ago.
Okay.
Would that be a good place for one of those button things that we use down there on 9th and E?
You don't need one at Allen Creek. Wasn't there one at Allen Creek? Could they move that one?
What's there now? Flashing yellow?
Nothing.
Nothing.
There's no crosswalk. There's nothing.
And
people are not going to walk down to the parkway to cross the street. Right. They're going to cross there whether there's a crosswalk or not. And so
they've got a trail that goes up that berm into Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a trail. So I
bet
there's some value there.
Anyway, there's an interim IGA with the new UGB. I don't know how that's progressing. You guys are doing infrastructure studies, and I'd like to put that one to bed before my term is up.
Okay.
And so before, I'd just like a progress report about when we're expecting to revisit wrapping the old IGA in with the new IGA, the old UGB in with the new UGB, and putting that whole issue to bed for 20, 30 years.
Okay.
I think this council, these board members were part of that. From the county's perspective, I'm pretty much the only one here other than Ron Bradness who is following that. And I followed it really intimately for those first 3 years. So I'm going to put a bow on it. I understand that the city's entered into an agreement to purchase a building. And so I'm interested in the timeline for the Justice Building lease.
Mm-hmm.
And how long or how that may change in the future, if at all, and if possible. I'm looking to do a remodel. The county is on consolidating our building and safety and planning department. I don't want to invest a whole lot of money if the possibility that you guys are not going to be utilizing that space in the future exists, and then I would, you know, save that and invest it in remodeling that area to facilitate that. So just an idea of, is it going to be, you guys are going to always have that, or the idea is to move, or whatever. I just like to know.
We bought the building, but it's still pretty far down the road. We're not going to close escrow for, 4 or 5 months?
Yeah.
And because we've got 120 days just due diligence to inspect it and make sure there's no major problems hiding out there or something, like asbestos or something. And then after that, then the remodeling starts, and there's going to be like $4 million worth of remodeling. So it's going to take a while, and the seismic is another $1.5 million. So it's going to be a while before we get around to actually moving people in.
Okay.
I asked the chief that, and he said, well, we'll start moving 9/11 fairly soon. You know, I think his chances, you know, are he feels safer with 9/11 there.
But you have to occupy that building to a certain extent before you can ask for grant.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's why we want to move 9/11 in there first and get that operational.
Yeah. Right.
But we're looking at probably 2 years down the road.
For 9/11 or for everything?
For everything.
Everything. Okay. Longer than I thought. But
yeah. 9/11 would be sooner than that, but I'm thinking 2 years before we have an opportunity to move all the operations out of the Justice Building. But I can tighten up that time frame for you.
That'd be good to know. That's probably not going to work for our timeline. That the Dimmitt campus will be under development for somewhere before then. So I just hate having to move them into some place that isn't going to be permanent.
And that's not going to be permanent, right? That's not efficient.
No. Because this is their permanent location eventually. It just makes perfect sense. And
right. You're looking for more such like a year out or something like that?
We'll probably be moving them before the end of the year.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. There's. Yeah.
We'll just rent some space, some office space somewhere. There's places available, but probably do the consolidation of public works and everything with them when we do that. I just don't know where to do it. That kind of leads into the concept of the Infrastructure Finance Authority District that you guys are doing. The overlay, that map over there. I may not be calling it what it's called.
Yeah, that's
your taxing district.
The urban renewal.
We had a conversation about that early on with the old board. I'd like to sit down and say, what are ways we can partner? You know, these three elements of it are really a joint possibly project with the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some are just your guys is removing urban blight, but the others are, you know, really creative, great thoughts that I'd like to sit down and say, how can we help and partner this together? So I don't know when that makes sense to do, and maybe, you know, it's from an economic development standpoint, so maybe that's just, you know, a handful of us.
Soon, we actually are looking at trying to, you know, we've got our urban renewal plan, which, you know, designates the overlay and,
yeah,
and that kind of thing, and in general gives us an idea of what to do with some of the resources. But I think we're going to try and dive into it even further and have, within that, have certain plans established for certain areas within that zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be when we want to come to the table with our concepts and ideas. And
yeah. I know it's still a ways out because you have to have maybe a year on the tax books.
Usually three years or something like that before really starting. Yeah.
Okay.
But we're starting off with, you know, 660 in the pot the first year, and it's going up from there. So within that first 3 year period, we're going to be able to, after 3 years, we're going to be able to look at starting projects.
Okay. Great. Well, then the time isn't soon enough. I mean,
I think it's perfect timing. I mean, we've got many things that are happening. Like, we'd love to have more shovel ready out there spalling and get that done with some newer improvements. We also have potential parking structure issue with Dutch Bros coming down with their corporate office, and that's an allowable expense.
Have you guys considered what Springfield's doing for their parking structure? I have a design on my coffee table I can share with you. It's a wood structure. It's a laminate, cross laminate technology, and it's pretty state of the art. I really like the Northwest feel. It could be very cost effective from a standpoint that they've done all the seismic engineering and everything, and it probably could be tailored to a size that accommodates. Springfield might be larger, but you know, as far as Northwest creative, zero carbon, that kind of a deal, or low carbon. It could be really cool if you guys are looking at a parking structure. And I've got a really good contact in Springfield for that, if that's something you're interested in. But I think for me, the long-term planning of our fairgrounds is certainly, it's part of part of your guys' deal.
Yeah.
I would rather talk about it early and say, yes, we're receptive to that. No, we're not receptive to that, so that our trajectories are similar. For me, I've been really thinking about this for about 7 years now, and the idea of a convention center on the river. I don't know of a better location. There possibly could be one, but from my standpoint, when I've done the Google Earth looking at it, there really isn't. There isn't an undevelopable, there isn't a developable piece of property that really mirrors what I see as our public works facility. And I think in the long term, that makes a lot of sense to move our public works facility out of that prime real estate, dovetail it in with the soccer field that the sportsmen are doing, the Y, the racetrack, and the fairground. The fair in and of itself doesn't make sense there. But if you put something with it, like a convention center where you need a new arena, you know, then we can justify not putting a new roof on that arena, bonding out the element and putting in a state-of-the-art facility, a multi-use venue facility, instead of, it's $250,000 to put a new roof on that. And we have the money in our property reserve, but that's not what it didn't get money from the fairgrounds to put that on there. And that's not the best use of those dollars. I would rather have that as match money for a brand new arena that we bond over the life of it of 20 years and build a $3 to $5 million facility that works for the community. That one's outdated. It's not ADA. It's never going to be you know, lipstick on a pig. It's always a pig, and it's maybe not in the best location, all of it. So I just want to do a long-term planning if that's something the city's receptive and we're pulling in the same direction. I think that goes into the Economic Development Committee. I understand the city approved the plan and made a recommendation to approve the committee as it was proposed. It's unfortunate that I don't believe this board has actually looked at a draft of the committee. So we're a step behind you, and I'm not sure why that is. If it's our fault, I'm just going to apologize. If it somehow could be more of a joint progression in this thing, I'd really like to do that as soon as, or catch up as soon as possible to where the city's at. So I appreciate you guys moving forward.
We were actually under the understanding that that the county had reviewed those, and we were behind, a step behind you. So,
former Commissioner Walker probably had, and she was tasked by the board to propose a structure.
Okay.
She would get approval by the board. If that happened with the majority of the board that isn't here anymore, it doesn't. I don't want to say it means nothing, but it's really close to meaning nothing. So I'm sure it's very close. We can always change it if something is. You guys forgot this person. This element needs to be there. We can add it. No big deal. I want to catch up.
Yeah.
So I wanted this done last year, and so I really appreciate you guys moving forward on it. So that's Julie Schmelzer needs to come over and brief the board on us, and then are you guys advertising, or can we advertise, or have we done that?
We have not. I started the advertising. I thought it would be more of a joint thing that we'd be working on
absolutely
together. Even though we're appointing, you know, we're making recommendations on one, but
well,
we should sort of do it together.
Well, the agency who's coordinating this.
Yeah.
So we approve the structure, and then somebody does it. I'm happy with that. So let's get that done sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
We can get that done this week or next.
Then we can start advertising for the positions.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
We've got people who are already requesting opportunities to serve in that
capacity.
So now is the time. I had an opportunity to go into your guys' visitor center that John Bowen is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. It had a really nice feel. It was inviting. The person behind the desk, can't remember her name, really nice, had good answers for some of your questions. It was really a positive deal, so I just wanted to offer that feedback.
We would love to hear that if you want to repeat that today, actually.
Okay. I will.
John, many times,
taken
a lot of heat, and he's done so much,
I think,
with the program, and done a good job. For someone like yourself to say something like that, I think it'd go a long way
for
council.
There's room for improvement. I noticed a couple things in there, but otherwise I was really pleased with what I saw.
He was given a blank canvas and said to paint a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get halfway down, you go, I think I want somebody else to finish it. You're not going to have a good product when you're done.
No.
So I have a question on water supply out in the Merlin area. We've got pipes going all over out of there, out of your
mm-hmm.
reservoir. We've got development going on out there, and we can't tap onto it. And I don't know why. Is it the water quality not good enough that you feel you can sell it? We've looked at the sewer system out there in Merlin. There's a proposal, I think, that came through with Paradise Ranch. If at some point in time we could step up, we could be servicing all of Rendata, Merlin, the airport, Paradise Ranch, the schools and everything with a new sewer system
mm-hmm.
for not a whole heck of a lot of money.
That'd be great.
That would be really great. But you've got water out there with a cork in it, and I don't know why. It goes all the way to Paradise Ranch on one side, and it goes out past the dump on the other side with not a soul that can tap into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to explore that because that would be very valuable. We can't do anything. I went to the Madras thing, you know, field trip to Madras Airport.
Yeah.
That's what did it for them, was getting infrastructure, water, sewer, and pavement out for their deal. We've already got pavement out there. Water's about, a quarter to 3/8 of a mile away. Can't touch it. And sewer is right across Paradise. If we did the sewer plant at Paradise Ranch, guess what? Well, we're starting to get corporate jets in there. I was just talking to, she's the head of transportation at an airport in ODOT.
And
Bert. Anyway, he runs the Medford Airport.
Uh-huh.
And Josephine County Airport.
Burn Cage?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I ran him at the airport the other day, and he said that Josephine County proposal to RV Act has then moved forward.
Hmm.
So for a extra return taxiway out at our airport, and they possibly lengthening the runway. So those are the things that are exciting that are happening with our runway. We're one county that has two full-length airports,
mm-hmm.
and that to me is a huge asset statewide and countywide. We're constantly talking about how Jackson gets everything and Josephine doesn't. I don't know if it's because Josephine doesn't yell loud enough. And so, I think the airport.
So I think we're we're in the queue on everything now.
Yeah, you've got FAA funds coming into those airports,
and we're doing good. But I think there's another step, and another step might be that fresh water and sewer out there. We're talking about industrial land, and I've said it before, right here, not in this room, but in the crosshair. I'm not a big fan of industrial land inventory inside Grant Pass, Oregon. On small scale, yeah. But to say, okay, we're going to dedicate 20, we need 20 acres because Brunswick wants to build bowling pins here out of teakwood. I'm sorry, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think we're putting infrastructure in for something that we're shooting too high, maybe. Mm-hmm. We're setting our target a little bit too high. But we do have a huge inventory of industrial land out in the Merlin area, and it is flat. It's easy to develop out there. But I think collectively we need to start looking at what can we do out there.
I didn't know that there was challenges hooking up to the water. I know the challenge with hooking up with water is where are you putting the affluent? And so I think I didn't know that there was an impediment from the city in hooking up for new water users.
Dollar General wanted to hook up to the water main and sold no. Dollar General, that's your standby water. That's a commercial building with a fire suppression system in it that you guys would be making money on the standby system, and it was no.
I was told that the intent of that reservoir was to serve that area. Is it not? Is this side of the hill?
We put water out there. My understanding historically is we put water out there to help with some of the industry. It was specific for some industrial usage out there. We've got limitations on how far we can put our water service outside city limits. So I'll have to brush up on that and let you know what those limitations are.
Well, if it goes all the way out to Paradise Ranch, the intent was to serve Paradise Ranch.
Paradise Ranch was able to have one temporary hookup or something like that, and it was
so that they could say they had infrastructure.
And we had no plans of servicing Paradise Ranch with city water. That's not.
But they've got 27 wells or something like that. I don't know that they necessarily need the water.
Yeah, there's limitations to that certain. Providing water out there, I'll come up with that.
Well, I know that, but at the same time, it's a million gallon reservoir, and I understand you guys dump water a lot for purity or keep
it clean. Yeah, we need to
keep it fresh.
I'm sure there's a balance, and you don't want to have everybody hook up. But I know that our industrial park doesn't have the capacity. That I know was the intent because there isn't well water to service out there, and we don't want that. That's not what an industrial park ought to have.
Right.
There is one person who's getting water, I think, off of a well, one or two, but that's it. And then, we've got 20 acres. There's 10 acres at Dutch Bros bought behind their facility, and then we own another 10 acres on the other side of that. So, there's 20 acres right there that someday we would really like. I mean, the infrastructure is being built out in that direction that we'd have access. That there is, the stalled of Paradise Ranch has just been a real problem since the 90s. Actually, recently, there's been, just yesterday, there was movement on consolidation of ownership. And our consultant is working diligently on helping that out. And in fact, he's leaving for California today to work on a proposal for consolidation.
At some point in time, one of those corporate jets is going to take a loop around and somebody's going to look up to one and say, what's that?
It happens all the time already.
Yeah.
I want to buy it. I don't know what it is, but I want to buy it. Look it up because I can bring my whole corporate office there. I've got the airport in my backyard. This is exactly what I'm looking for in Pacific Northwest, Southern Oregon. The freeway's 1.5-2 miles away. I love it. And we need to be prepared for when that happens.
I agree. I think one of our limitations is city services outside the city limits in UGD specifically. We were able to get it out to the industrial area because of the employment land and the state's ability to allow us to go beyond the UGB.
When you acquired the landfill, I'm sure there was some environmental issues, et cetera.
Started to send water because of the wells. We required that way, but that was again allowing us to serve outside the UGB. The state providing us the authority to be able to do that.
I bet there's a threshold of employment lands, in your portfolio, 70% or something like that, if that's where your water's got to probably be.
Yeah.
And Dollar General isn't employment land thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not traded sectors.
Well, look that up, and if there's some change, we need a lobby for to change that. It's to your advantage and our advantage. Right now, you put in a heck of a lot of infrastructure up there, and you're not getting any return on your investment at all.
Well, it would be nice from the standpoint of the few that have city water because they're not able to utilize our wells at this time to keep the water fresh. It'd be nice if we had more usage out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From that standpoint, water quality-wise, that would be a good thing.
Redonda's down the road about 3/8 of a mile, and they would use all the water you could possibly ever get to them. There may be somebody you don't want to have on the system because they're going to use a tremendous amount of water.
I think they've got decent wells there. I doubt that they would pay something they mm-hmm. have. But you guys, you need to find that balance, I'm sure, and anything we can do to help you, you know, with people who are interested in signing up from a standpoint that Dollar General is not going to use that much, but they're going to help you. They're not going to impact your long-term,
no.
you know, portfolio as far as, wait, we can't take another industrial user because Dollar General's using? I don't know about that.
I don't think we're able to, outside EGB, I don't think we're able to service residential or unless
they have specific
like wells, dirty wells.
That would
yeah.
work. Mm-hmm. Well, let's work on that one.
We'll work on it, too.
Yeah.
What about the sewage treatment plant out there? I mean, that's what I've always heard is the problem out area, is that it's already at capacity, and so how do you get that service, sewage service out there?
We're figuring that out. You know, there's it's really tough. It's actually very similar to you guys using the Justice. I don't want to go invest in a bunch of money and develop mm-hmm. our own standalone system, moving those offices to somewhere that isn't the long-term plan. The long-term plan is to have tapped into Paradise Ranch. So the year after that we go invest $3, $4 million in a sewer system that's our own, Paradise Ranch comes on,
yeah.
and we just wasted a bunch. They're going to have to spend more money. We had to spend more money because yeah. we didn't do it together.
And the element
of timing yeah. coming together.
The element of Paradise Ranch and the proposed sewer treatment plant on Paradise Ranch is a straight shot. All land is purchased, the right of way goes right straight across the airport and ends up in Merlin. I mean, logistically, it's a really, really tidy deal. And for us to go spend a ton of money on the existing plant, which, as you say, is right to max,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden this guy flies over and says, I like it. I want to buy it. And then and part of the development, the term of development is you have to have your own sewer treatment plant, and that sewer treatment plant is of state-of-the-art. And we'll handle all the schools that are out there. If you were going right out past, you go right out past those schools. And I don't know what they use for standby water in their fire suppression system, but your use of actual use of water in a commercial or industrial scene is nothing compared to what you get on standby water, because guess what? You're not using any water.
Mm-hmm.
You're just there, and it's huge. You look up your standbys.
It's just
you know it because you're yeah. in public works. You're standby. Just the capacity issue. If you've got the capacity, guess what? That's free water. That's free money. Almost free money. So that's what I'm looking at. Like Dollar General, they have. What do they have to do, and what is their capacity that they have to have? What is their gallons per minute? Do they have to have a 15,000 gallon storage tank up on the hill behind them for standby situation? I don't know. I don't know what the development looks like about that. But those are just things that was one that's been it's bothered me for a long time because, you know, we are moving that way. As you see, we're crawling up
mm-hmm.
up over the top of Highland, and eventually that will be very valuable land.
Well, we mm-hmm. the UGB has employment opportunities up there, and I think mm-hmm. to be fair, even within the city and the Spalding area, those are designated employment lands. Not necessarily if their zone is industrial, that's fine, but they're really employment opportunities, which I see as a real value to the city of Grants Pass. I just always question the spot zoning or the challenge of you've redefined what qualifies for industrial, and I think that is going to be a real positive thing in the future. Property designations, this is just a refresher. I really appreciate you guys moving that forward as fast as possible.
Yeah.
These are properties that are within the city limits of Grants Pass that the mm-hmm. county has come into ownership through the long, arduous process of foreclosure. Some counties around the state, you're given really basically four options when you inherit foreclosed properties. You can keep them and use them for county purposes. You can sell them outright, and the revenues go back to satisfy they're distributed amongst the districts that make up that tax bill, and proportional to the tax rates. So the best that Grosvenor County ever does is 7.9%. Of a tax bill. So if it was a $100,000 property, we'd get $7,900 from the sale of the property. Or you can designate them as either parks or forestry. That doesn't mean that we're going to put plant trees or that we're going to put in a park within the city limits, but that those revenues after the sale are dedicated to those two programs. So we'll either invest in buying forest property somewhere, or these are all being designated for parks to the benefit of. And so we're looking to try to establish a reserve that'll help with the capital investments and maintaining our park system that we already have. There are some developments that we are looking at and trying to trade with the BLM. Currently, Whitehorse Park, we don't own the boat ramp. Currently, at Hog Creek Boat Ramp, we own the boat ramp. We don't own the parking. It's really challenging for enforcement approvals and that sort of deal. We're looking for a trade, but the one that really is the nice thing on the horizon is the Applegate Seed Orchard, right on the border of Josephine and Jackson County. There really are no public access points, maybe one or two, to the Applegate. This would afford a very large open opportunity for RV and other kind of camping and maybe even boat access, non-motorized or whatever you have to do on Applegate. That could be huge if we acquired that seed orchard that the BLM is no longer wanting, but that's going to take a substantial amount of money to invest in bringing that up to a real camp spot. And so that's what these revenues. But the nice thing about it is that once we get approval from the city to designate and liquidate those properties, we're hoping to sell those at our property sale after the board reviews this. It'll be at the end of April. It'll be April 20. I think that's the 26th. And so at 10 a.m. in room 157 is where we're going to host that auction for the Ambassador. That's a Tuesday. That's why they're doing it over there.
You sell all of them then?
We'll put them all up for auction.
Okay.
Whether or not they all sell or not. We usually sell probably about 20-30% of what goes up for auction. So if we have 27 properties, which I think our total list is, we hope to sell between 2 and 6. And I think that the number is going to be even higher than that this time, because there's a good number of interests. There's a good list of properties. A lot of these, they're not your most ideal piece of property. They're slivers, or they're some of them are developable. Some of them are developed. We acquired one on D Street with a house. We've taken steps to make that to where people can't go and squat in it the way it has been. And really, they're to a degree a blight on the community, and we're just wanting to get them back on the tax rolls. If we have these sales and they take possession before the end of June, I believe, they will go on the tax bill this year. Mm-hmm. If it's after June, like our fall sale, they don't go on the tax rolls for an entire year and a half, And so that we're moving that ahead as soon as possible. And it's been a really good program. So
there are some marketable ones in there.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
There definitely are. So I think that'll help with, you know, maintenance nightmares for you guys, neighbors complaining about these properties. It'll go a long way. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So thanks for
March 1st.
And this is the first time that you guys have been asked to do this in a long time. And you can imagine it's going to probably be happening next year with a couple of properties. It'll be a lot less. This is a list that's accumulated for years, but there might be two or three. So this would be something you guys just plan on doing in the spring.
And, Counselor, that's scheduled for March 1st for you guys to take action on.
Okay.
Great. Really appreciate it. Legislative concepts. I know that you guys are working on that distribution formula for cities and counties for marijuana revenue.
Something we want to discuss today also.
Okay. Yeah. There or there? Here.
There. But and I don't have anything specific unless you do.
I know that Representative Wilson was working really hard on this in the 91 Implementation Task Force with no real progress.
Yeah, it's been kind of hard getting anything pot-related out of the state. If it is, it's usually inconsistent, so...
on that today. It's usually not in our favor, and once you know, it's the golden rule. Those who have the gold make the rules. They also have the population base to say, why would they want to change it?
Yeah,
it's a perfect world where they don't have to grow it. All they do is retail.
Well, that's where
they get all the revenue.
That's why I wanted Commissioner Morgan to throw in the business side of it.
Yeah.
You take care of your supplier.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to grow the stuff here.
Right.
We really don't have to. It's fortunate that we grow the very best. and almost, you know, worldwide, we're renowned for the best pot in the whole wide world. Why aren't we capitalizing on that? Why don't we bring that to the table and say, we are your supplier, we're your premier supplier for the best wine in the whole wide world or whatever. And you need to say, we need a little bit more of the pie to protect that, to protect that resource. And mm-hmm. and we don't have the money to protect the resource, and you don't seem to get the that's why we, I think, I don't know, should we share that and stay up there?
I think so.
And talk about, we started a while back saying anything that had to do, any call, that I don't know if Chief Landis was in it, any police call or call to serve for service, and if it had anything to do with the cannabis industry, need to be noted as such, so that we cannot stack the book, but we can bring, shed light on the fact that we have a lot more involved in the cannabis industry as far as complaints go, and we need help with that. And you know, you got to sell it to those folks, and we're not saying, you know, split it all up, but we need just a bigger share. They need to carve off 10% or 20% or whatever it is, and then say, who was affected by this law? And it was Jackson and Josephine.
Yeah.
And that's where it needs to go. But I did tell Lily to make sure she brings the business aspect of it. When I was in business, you know, I paid attention to how my policies were going to affect me and my family, then my company, then the people that work for me and their families, and then the next person in line was my supplier. How is this going to affect my supplier? Because they have to remain healthy so that I can they can provide a product to me, the top quality product, so I can sell that. And it's a loop right there, a very small loop, but it's something that everybody needs to take into consideration. I don't think people at the state level are taking into consideration that the best is grown right here. They don't even get it. Now, when I was at the school last week, they said, well, you know, they make pot growers. And I said, 2,600 registered marijuana growers. They go, what? I said, yeah, how'd you like that? When you have 5 acres here and everybody around you is a grow and they're licensed grow. They said, well, we don't have any close to that. I said, I get that. And you don't have the pit bulls and the random gunfire. You don't have the smell of skunk. You don't have the compounds that are associated with harvest and trimming. You don't have anything involved with it. We do, and we have no resources at the present time to combat that.
Well, and you mentioned all the stuff that was pretty much associated with legal grows, not even including all the black market stuff that we don't have, the black market impact is huge.
I had a very major grower tell me that because of the rainy season this year, he lost 80% of his crop to mold.
Well,
and I said, is mold your buyer or out of Honduras? He didn't answer that. Anyway, but it's a serious problem. And I we're going to bring it. It's being with us today. It's brought to committee today, mm-hmm. in committee. So if there's a possibility that can happen, that's one of the things. That's another thing we ask. Okay, if that can happen, when did we get the check?
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know that. So that's part of that bridge that we want to build with that, with the law enforcement levy. We need to build a bridge to a date. And right now, that date is out at least 5 years. So, you know, I thought, well, do three and then redo it for three and da 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 da. But, you know, if we're going to go for five and we're going to go at the soonest possible opportunity that we can do that. Is it ideal? No. I'd like to start at 2.5. We just started with cups 2.5 years ago and getting that panel in the cup. I think we probably have the thing solved by now. We just need it. And I think we had a good, like I said, it didn't turn out as successful as my expectations, but it was certainly well received by everybody that was at the table. So, baby steps.
Any of that?
I don't really have anything. Just to say, I was kind of relieved to see that you guys were at least floating a levy, because, you know, last year when we met with commissioners, they basically said, forget it.
So. I've gotten a lot of positive email of people saying, thank you very much for at least bringing this to the voters. And essentially what we're doing is we voted as the commission to move it forward. The proposal was by the sheriff because it's his wheelhouse. He said what he needs and what is best suits him, and he thinks that the traffic will bear. And all he was asking the commissioner's office to do was to put it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And bring it forward and to refer to the voter. And we have no problem referring to things like that. Do we want to refer? People say, don't do the library levy. you know what, why should we hold that back from the voter? Let them have the choice. I just got off the phone before I walked in here with a gentleman that said, well, all of these things are there. And I said, they're there for you to vote on.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I guess you're right. And I said, we're not jamming any of this, putting any of this on your plate, forcing you to eat that. All we did was bring it forward, refer it to the voter. And I said, I think that leadership is to give you options. These are the only options. Because we've been asked to prompt, you know, quite well as I do, what's your answer? The sales tax. We know where that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I'm the guy that it was branded. I got it on my back. Dan sales tax, 2%. Blah, 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 blah. But anyway, we do need to bring something to the board. And I haven't heard anything else. Out of all of the groups, I haven't heard anything else. And that breaks my heart. Because nobody's got any ideas. And so we're going to do something here.
Is the school board on the ballot too?
They have until March 16th to make that decision for a district.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one too.
We're required by our charter in a non-general election year to go out 90 days. We're the only ones who have to do this this far in advance. That in any special district that would be proposed, like the library. And that process of district had to be started December 21st of last year. I think it was a good idea that the last board didn't refer it. It wouldn't have gone anywhere. I didn't think that the last levy proposal had any merit to be on a ballot. It actually lost ground, in my opinion, by utilizing volunteers to drive it. They got burnt out on something that was never going to pass anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The people who thought it was close. There's so many people who want to play armchair quarterback on things like this, and they've never thrown a football. So that's exactly the analogy that I use. They've never thrown it, and they don't. And those who do, who say they have, they've never had to actually deal with the injuries of one that doesn't pass or one that does pass. And so I think that this board put forth a really thoughtful proposal. I'd categorize what the sheriff did was say, this is what I think the citizens want. This is how much it costs. Now go find me the money. And this board referred the levy. I don't want the sheriff to be branded with the idea of a 2% that it failed because he asked for the money. The board says, we don't have it. We're going to go ask the voters. We think you've got a good ask. And we're going to go. He didn't want to do the juvenile detention facility, but the whole thing doesn't work unless we start taking care of curbing the direction that our youth are choosing. All of these adult offenders that have come from Josephine County, they had a tipping point, in my opinion, back when they were in middle school or high school. And we didn't catch it then. And that's why they're here. If we don't invest in the youth element of it, you're never going to have enough jail space. You're never going to have enough prison space. We need to get some younger. So.
And we looked at the numbers, like I said. I looked at the numbers from the caseload at the DA. That was one of the barometers I wanted to see. Is this new sheriff done his job? Is he doing a job? There's more in the paper every night. The county sheriff has, you know, that they have responded to some domestic calls, whereas the last one was, hey, if there's no blood in the gutter, I'm not coming out. And I think this is, you know, so I've been kind of watching Sheriff Daniel over the last couple of years to see what are you going to do? You were a new sheriff in town, but if you came in with the same deal.
He's got a real positive attitude. He's got everybody certified over there in that process. And before, there were, you know.
He's reduced the liability, the potential liability of the county in leaps and bounds. And so that's an end branch. Some of the stuff he wants to, I think his next proposal, I think is in his goals. He's got some issues over there with the jail that, and he is looking towards that in the budget to go, assuming at 185 beds. You know, but there are things he's got to do. There's some communication issues over there that are pretty important.
Yeah.
So
we're putting a camera and intercom system, and that's going to be really positive. All that stuff. So crazy how much things cost. Just crazy. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming over here.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for talking to us.
There's no shortage of issues to work on. So.
What's for lunch? Not that I'm ready.
I forget what it is.
You're gonna have pizza when they have a joint session.
Yeah.
Well, they don't want to go around and get everybody's order saying pizza.
Yeah.
pizza.
I think they were taking orders, and I
were they?
I can't remember what it was.
Like pizza pit or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that what it, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I didn't respond, so I'm going to need to grab something. Yeah, I can keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's going to be really great.
Looking forward to the next time.
I think another thing I think we need to consider, I mean, when you're thinking of your growth south of the town, we don't have any motels out there. You know, and maybe the, you know, with
well,
the, other than the soccer thing going in out there and a conference center and stuff, we really need to start encouraging motels to go out there.
Yeah.
Now, I-5, you know, you're away from I-5, but...
There's still 30,000 people a day that use 199.
Yeah. I think we need to start looking at the traffic counts on 199 and the importance thereof.
I think being that location on the river where I see across from Tussie Park
and
all sports.
Buy out Blair McIntyre. That fixes a whole bunch of things on the city side.
Yeah.
And you can buy it. I'm sure he, before he gets, you know, he's done a remodel of that little house down there, and he was going to build a great big house, and then he pulled the cork on that because he didn't want to go through all the planning and whatnot. So he now has a beautiful lot on both sides of the creek, and that is a fantastic facility.
Oh, yeah.
You're overlooking the river and so on and so forth. That's just something to think about. But I, you know, if you're going to have a soccer complex out there, and you're going to start pushing that and get an arena like, you know, well, you just saw what the Expo did over there with that RV park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're putting that RV park in there for one concert for that deal that came from Cape Blanco and moved down to here. And they figure they're going to pay that off. I don't think their return on investment's only a couple, 3 years. So that's important. I mean, those are things. They're thinking outside the box. And if we had a picturesque place with all that facility out there, right now you want to look at the fairground and go, gee, there's not proper use for it. And if we can move it in.
I see it as a real positive. There is no value in those horse stalls, and people are going to get upset about that. That is valuable property that you cannot just have those horse stalls sitting there 10% occupied for most of the year. That's ridiculous.
One of the things that I talked to the consultant about was consolidating Public Works' shop garage thing and including maybe Laidlaw Bus, City Rent Pass, you know, fire engines, you name it. Get one facility. We've talked about this before. One facility where all public entities go to that facility and can use it. It's funded from. Half a dozen different sites.
Well, we used to contract, I mean, the city used to contract with us for services, but we've had dramatic reductions in public works, and it doesn't make sense to me that we would have specialized mechanics in diesel, and everybody has one, and they work on it 2 days a week as opposed to 5 days a week. They're going, getting trained up on the most modern stuff. They're ready to go for natural gas or propane.
Yeah.
All of those things. They're servicing electric vehicles.
You can consolidate your fueling station, maintenance, and everything all into one place.
Boy, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yep. Well, thank you. We'll see you in an hour.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice seeing you again, Dan.
Yeah. Good seeing you guys.
Commissioner, do you have anything else? We're still scheduled in a general discussion for a little while. Councilor Roller, we'll
see you. Maybe. Just a couple things.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you in an hour.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. It's like a little drier out there now.
It's wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
I talked to Eve about you know, how we bill for property taxes. And I asked her, I said, well, do we have to collect the taxes for the city of Grand Pass and the school district and all that? She said, yes, they mandate says we do.
Yep.
I said, how does the irrigation district get out of that? I said, they opt it out. The district opts it out.
Huh.
So if we could, and I'm assuming we don't charge the city of Grand Pass for collecting that, and we can't. Okay, just one of the things that. What is?
He doesn't
want to hear today.
After this, we're done. I don't believe I'm.
We're just about done too, right?
I just got to make some holes and Lily's thingy there.
We're going to be done in probably 10-15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I didn't know. I'm meeting with a guy tomorrow who says, gosh, you know, with all this stuff goes through, and I said, that's up to you. You know, you're the voter. We just referred it to the voter. But I'm going to get a copy of his tax statement and go over and explain it to him.
Yeah.
Because he said, you know, this all goes through. I won't be able to afford to. And I know he lives in a fairly meager house.
Yeah.
So I don't think his actual, you know, I don't think the impact's that great.
No.
But I need to show him that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how. I think that is one of the big keys to this thing. And, so, and I've got to. I think I want to put together, because Lily and I have. She said it over and over again. We want to get out to the public in the next 3 months, and I mean hammer the public. School board. I talked to a member of the IV school board last night. I said, "You want me to come out there? I am on my way, and we'll explain why this is happening." He said, "Well, it needs to have sheriffs." A sheriff in every school out here and a drug dog and da 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 da. I said, that's not, you're adding on to it again.
That'll cost you $1.48.
It'll cost you about $48 or $2.15 or whatever, and it'll never fly.
Yes.
This is a baby step, but I said, that doesn't stop me from going out there and having the amount of money it would take to have two officers in that in the school and a dog. I'll find out what that costs from the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a menu, we'll have a cafeteria plan. Or you can say what you want to do and go for that.
Hello.
Oh, we're Dutch.
We are.
Yeah. You!
We believe Lily's in Salem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you've got a really good point. So I've already started working with Connie on sending out cards or preparing cards to be sent out. Now, the board's going to have to approve this proposal, but we're going to be refining what we did in 2013. I think we sent out about 8,000 cards that last time. I want to do more. I want to do 404 and 304 voters. So if there's 49,000 voters, there's probably about 20,000 of those people that actually vote in every election. And those are the people that are going to turn out in this next election in May. And it does exactly that. It takes their tax bill and it says your assessed value of your home, John Q. It doesn't do it for the median. It does it for you. So let's use my mom and dad. Danny and Evie here, your tax, your property at 5120 is assessed at $250,000. The impact of this 93-cent levy that will provide for full funding for the jail and detention facility will go up by $12 a month or $144 a year. That's the total impact to your tax.
Could I be in on that conversation and designing that card?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like to put on there somewhere, if you were to write a check for your full tax, and you would write a check to the City of Grants Pass for this amount of money, to Josephine County Schools for this amount of money, to Grants Pass City Schools for this amount of money.
And currently you pay County, $84 to the county.
To Josephine County. And this is the part that's affected by it. None of these are affected by it, just this one. And this is what you would pay.
Right.
You know, something along that line of who you would write the check to rather than Josephine County.
Yeah.
If you had to pay these separately, you would write your check, the individual check, to these people.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, we'll have an opportunity to design that. I think what Aaron Kulik was saying about if people actually understood what they're getting for 58 cents a thousand, nobody would be ever questioning the most efficient county government in the state.
We have people up there at that class that say, you know, you've got an awful good attitude for where you stand. We know, gosh, we're at $2.80 and struggling, and you guys are 58 cents and smiling.
Yeah.
And we've already made the necessary cut.
Yeah.
We have the best of the best inside those marble halls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hard working and they're working efficiently.
And we're constantly improving.
And
I mean,
we've been living this, what you guys are getting ready to step off into. We've been treading water in that same ocean for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
And we'll show you how to do it. I don't think it's any small measure to improve the bond rating. That's a really, you know,
especially,
that threshold is challenging.
Especially with the wind blowing as hard as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of sacrifices.
Those are things that we need to be advertising.
That's what Thursday's meeting with Moving Mountains is going to be about. How do we get that message out? You know, appreciate the courier being here today. Absolutely, Mr. Hall. But that's targeting, you know, one constituent base. It's not getting to the ground where we need them to say, wow, how did they do that?
Mm-hmm.
They've improved it twice in the last 6 years,
mm-hmm.
with all of their cuts and all of their reductions.
Mm-hmm.
Man, maybe that is a good investment for my money. Wall Street's tech saying that.
What is that if that isn't building trust?
You know,
that's the main thing.
What I told the managers the other day is we can do the job that we're doing, that we have been doing for 6 years. The reason why this meeting on Thursday is so vitally important and why I'm willing to advocate for spending general fund dollars for it is if at the end of the day, we could do everything we're doing right now. And if none of those people out there know it, what's the point?
What difference does it make? Yeah.
We shouldn't go without having meals provided for any of our meetings, or no logos on our all of these things mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If people out there don't realize, wow, is that why you never have a county logo on your shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't pay for that here.
Yeah.
You know, that $30 for that adds up over 340 employees, and that's real money that we put to something else. To put something else.
$10,000.
Yeah.
So all it's for training.
Yeah. Well, we don't do training anymore.
No.
Not the way we should. So anyway, we're gonna make some real good progress in this next year. We already have. We've got a good foundation and pretty optimistic. So my trip to DC, I start on Friday and I'm back on Wednesday. I'll be at the Thursday meeting morning.
That's this Friday?
I leave this Friday.
Okay.
So it's a whirlwind trip. It's actually a little too short given there's 2 days that we're not having an opportunity, and then we're only there till Tuesday. I really should have stayed Wednesday. There's some visits that I'm not going to be able to get done. But I think the ONC Executive Committee has made a commitment that we're going to be back there in D.C. quarterly this next year. So I will apologize, but that's been the charge that I think that, you know, we need to be spending more time.
With new voices in the White House, and if we don't, this is an opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't strike. I'd say the iron's hot.
Yep.
Right. And if it costs a little bit to stay in the loop and push it quarterly rather than once a year,
yeah,
go for it.
The bang for the buck being
absolutely
DC,
it's just this.
And the things that are aligning that I can't talk about right now are amazing. That the things that happened to me personally a year ago are coming to fruition. That could change the trajectory of this and giving us an opportunity at the table in a way you only dream of. I lived back there for 6 years. These kinds of opportunities, they weren't afforded to me, and I had a roommate who worked in the West Wing, not in the old executive, not in the new executive building, in the West Wing. I didn't have these kind of opportunities. These people are,
yeah,
it's amazing. So,
well, if you've got your ear,
it doesn't work. If this doesn't work, then I would be the first person to say, this ONC thing,
we're done.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah,
if it doesn't happen now,
yeah,
just you can write the final chapter in the ONC story, and it doesn't matter if it happens in 10 or 20 years from now. If it doesn't happen...
One of the things that we had up there is a couple of people that are pretty environmentally attuned,
mm-hmm.
and she was, oh, what is that? And Dave Yamamoto, he's a really nice guy. And he was just, you know, by this time he was just, because he's a timber guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he goes, well, you know, the Yellowhead National Forest, you got all that, take all your owls and your marble beer, let them put them in there and live happily ever after. He went off for it. So I raised my hand and I said, did I hear somebody say that you can cut down trees and build houses out of them? Is that true? All that is what? Has been a while since you cut timber, hasn't it? Oh, yeah. Long time.
And it grows back.
And it grows back.
You couldn't stop it if you tried.
One of the things that was a real head turner, because they wanted to know as we did our around the room introductions the other day, gosh, what's her name? She was on the OCC, female member of the OCC.
Tammy Bainey?
Yeah.
She's the chair.
Yeah, I think she was there. And anyway, but we were going around the room, and I
Susan
used,
Morgan, she's on AOC.
Susan Morgan, that was
she. She's used to be. She's now AOC staff.
Yeah, yeah, she was there.
She's supposed to be the incoming natural resource staff.
Well, she has Gilsby County on her radar. She's yeah, like, I know all about you guys.
We're close.
Yeah. She says, I know all about you guys. And so we're in a good light with her.
Yep.
But going around the room, you know, they said, well, what's, you know, what is, you know, you're doing on your thing? I said, well, our chairman, I said, he brought up an interesting fact. I don't know if any of the other of you can even chime along with this, but it's the first time in as far back as we can remember that all three of our county commissioners were born and raised and have lived their whole life in Josephine County, and they all went, whoa, is that powerful or what? And I said, that is a statistic that really can, you're not going to come in here with your the California idea, because we're not going to answer. We've got the history all the way back to 1949 and all the way through the timber industry.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have lived through the timber industry, and we know what it bought and paid for.
Yeah.
And what it doesn't buy and pay for right now. And they thought, you know, that is huge. That's a huge statistic right there. So we need to use that. You use that a lot. That's great. We need to put that out.
I think it resonates with people.
Yeah.
Even people who move in here from other areas, they move here because they have an appreciation for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And
guess who made it? Made the area what they wanted to come to is the people that live there all their life.
I just wonder, can you imagine what it would be like if we were to go from where we were, having resources to pay for the library, the Y, all of these things, give $1 million to the school, mm-hmm. just a blank check every year.
Take it. We don't need it.
Can you imagine if we went from that to where we are at right now in a year?
Mm-hmm.
There'd be civil war.
There would be
civil war in Josephine County.
You'd see the wagon. It'd be like the old days where everybody loads the stuff in the wagon and heads west.
They would tar and feather people who said, you're going to take that lifestyle away from us. Can you imagine? I just remember there was this guy, Dan Bosch, and you'd kind of write him off as a city councilor for Cave Junction. We grew up together. He's a couple years younger than me. But in his campaign speech one time, he was going through all of the things that used to exist in Cave Junction and are no longer there. How we used to have two vibrant grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
We had 6 gas stations. We had 4, 5, 6 banks. All of this stuff that you just kind of forget. Even growing up and living there, yeah, that's right. The Junction Inn, mm-hmm. that didn't always used to be some...
No, it was board. Nice.
Yeah?
Very nice. I used to work on it when I was back in the 70s.
It had a nice pool. Place.
Yeah.
They had money to invest in a pool for a hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things that used to happen,
yep.
and they all flowed from an economy. And people say, oh, it was never that great. It's like, all evidence to the contrary, my friend. When we had enough money to build that pool facility out there and Cave Junction, I mean, it was just
I told them up there, talking. I said, you know, one of the things you have to remember, I was here in 1968 when the first old school bus with a peace sign on the side of it, a stovepipe coming out of the window,
mm-hmm.
went right through Grants Pass and headed for Cave Junction and opened up to Tequila.
Yep.
And it's one of the places, Tequila? Is that right? Is that where Tequila is? Because that was world-renowned. We're all going to Tequila.
Yep.
And I said, and I thought it was just a bunch of beatniks, and beatniks were on their way out. But no, I said, I was wrong. I'm sorry, I was wrong. But I remember seeing those school, my old school buses with 50 kids in there and beads and hair and knit caps and stuff. And I went, holy crap, where are these people coming from?
Yeah.
And they were coming here, and they stuck. I just thought it'd be something. I got back out of the Navy 4 years later, and they were still here.
Yeah.
And there was more of them. But I said, those are the history things.
Yep.
And I don't I think people, you know, history, of course, that's probably the part of the deal is to make history go away.
Well, I think anybody who wants to pretend like things are ever going to stay the same or that they're not a very good student of history, it will definitely change. And for people to say that we'll never get back to harvesting trees again, no, we will.
We will.
Stuff will get tough. Mm-hmm. This is only the beginning. Things are going to get really hard in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about how kids are, they basically don't know how to do anything. It doesn't work on that.
Oh.
And when your society doesn't value that anymore, you're not making anything, you're going to have to
feel
what it's like to go...
When my grandkids come here,
dig in the dirt and cut
and I go and open up my wallet and pay for something, they say, wow, how much money do you have in there? And I says, oh, I got a couple hundred bucks. Why? Wow. And I thought, you know what? They never do see money because they're in a plastic world.
Yeah.
Mom whips this thing out. It doesn't matter what it is. They swipe it on a phone.
Yeah.
Swipe it in to get toilet paper. You plug it into a pop machine now. Nobody carries money.
No.
Down there. And his folks, my grandkids' folks, they don't know. I've got a big family. I have a big jar that we throw coins in.
Yeah.
What's that? And I said, you want to pick it up? Of course, they can barely pick it up.
Yeah.
It's real heavy. They had no idea what it is. And they sit around and count that.
Yeah.
To put in the same trick, because I've never seen those coins.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. You're right, man. It's getting worse. It get worse. And even, you know, I don't own a credit card. So when we went south, you know, we go to get a car.
Yeah.
And I said, do you have a credit card? And I said, no, I don't actually have a debit card, but I'll keep any money out. We already took debit cards. Credit card only. So I said, get your junk out, will you? So she gets her card out and she swipes it. I have to pay her back.
Yeah.
She makes me pay her back.
Right.
Not fair.
You're like living with the company store.
But you know, if she's going to make a payment, as I said, you go knock yourself out. You got the card. I don't. I'm not going down that road. I've already done that one.
Yeah.
I did it more than once.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fun. I was real blunt with the credit card company. Mm-hmm. I owed them probably in the $4,000 range. Well, you make your payments, all you're doing is just reviling it. And I called them one day and I said, you know, I think you've been paid back more than once, probably 3 or 4 times. I said, so here's what I'm going to do. This is the only deal I'm going to cut with you. So find out, get as high up in the chair as you want to get. But I'm going to start making you payments $200 a month, come direct deposit out of my bank, $200 a month. And you will apply every cent of that $200 to the principal. And if I see one bit of interest on my statement I get every month that isn't $200 coming right off the principal, I see 1 cent of interest charge on me, I stop paying. It's unsecured. I don't need a credit rating. I own everything.
Right.
I'm never going to borrow another thing in my life. So I don't need your credit rating. You're not helping me on my insurance or anything. I've been with this company forever.
Right.
And I'm either going to pay it off that way. And right now, you want to hear this? Snip, snip, snip. I said, that was me snipping up that credit card. You can tell me I can't use it because I'm not going to ever use it again. You're done. You either accept this deal or we're finished. So what is it? And they had to go through 3 or 4 people. And a guy finally come on and he goes, I don't like doing this. I don't care what you like. This is the only deal you're going to get.
Yeah.
You want to get paid back? You'll get paid back. But I'm not paying the interest ever again. You've already been paid back twice.
Right.
And he goes, okay, we'll take the deal. And that was the end of that.
Wow.
And they eventually paid it off. You know, every once in a while, I'd throw an extra $200 at it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it all came down, it was done. And then you get a flood of, oh, boy, look at this card and that card, and then just dip them all up, throw them in the trash barrel. Now, I should understand that. I should have understood principal interest if anybody did, because I loan sharked in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't I get it?
They make it pretty easy.
Oh, they do. They make it really easy. And the young people, and I was, you know, it's just the way it is.
Well,
I think we're on the right track. To be honest with you, you know, when we talk up there, we're going to swap. We're going to do the exchange, student exchange thing back and forth with the people in our classrooms. I'm going to go up to Gary's up there in Sherman County, and he's going to come down here for a couple of days, and we're just setting up a schedule. Laura said, she says, I'll try to orchestrate this thing for you, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
We're going to try to orchestrate this stuff for you so that where you get to go to everybody. And we're making a heck of a lot of alliances up there in that. And it's 31 of us, so we're a fourth. We're almost a fourth.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. And I've kind of done that over the 4 years. I'm vice chair of District 4, which is all those counties you mentioned.
Right.
Minus Klamath County, it's not in District 4. Melissa over in Coos County, she's the chair. But, yeah, that would be a good thing to do, to go spend a day over in Klamath County.
Sure.
You know, start local, so where it doesn't cost much. You know, you're just driving over there and back. You don't have to stay the night. But I have toured all the timberlands, and from Coos County to Hood River. That's pretty important to me, to get up there.
Well, sure, you're the timber guy.
Yeah, you know, from
that perspective. And as you said, I think the timber situation is going to get fixed, or it won't get fixed in the next 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
Max.
Yeah.
No.
I think it's going to be fairly well on its way to resolve. Zinke and Greg Walden are supposed to be tasked by President Trump to figure out a process for this, a legislative solution. And I bet it takes the lawsuits and just kicks them out. So you don't need those. You got this. And there's assurances built in. And it's not for lack of trying. We've tried, you know, a dozen different things. And I think that's the initiative that the Senate needs, frankly, Senator Merkley and Wyden, to say, you know what? That the way these lawsuits are going to go, you're going to get sustained yield. So all you people who are worried about cutting trees, you don't want 1.5 billion board feet coming off of these 2.4 million acres, do you? Because we're harvesting under 200 million right now. You're going to get that if you don't sell around something in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's the incentive, I think.
What happened on there? There was a water suit over at Klamath Falls that just got settled?
Yeah. I know.
That had to do something with the
basin's really challenging with water.
Yeah, but I think they just want a huge lawsuit over there for I don't know how many millions of dollars.
Klamath County?
Klamath. I think it was in Klamath.
Yeah, there's a lot of water is
water premium.
Their number one issue.
Yeah. And the lawyer that won that lawsuit is the lawyer that is retained by Grand Theft Irrigation District to get the folks across the parking lot. They maybe ought to consider that a little bit. That's their problem.
Yeah.
The county will eventually end up somewhere in there, but Rob and I've already talked about
good.
It a little bit. Rob,
yeah.
I've been involved, so we're going to sit down. I don't think it's going to look anything like what the city did because we're not the stormwater.
Right? We're not that big a deal.
Yeah.
No, I've reviewed it. I think back when you were a counselor and I was a commissioner liaison, I sat in that meeting over there, and that didn't go real well from my perspective, the way that the Grand Theft Irrigation was going about it. But so I don't think you want to. Where I see this issue is not really a focus of our issue. You've got an issue, but it's with the city.
This will be a different, and I think, and Rob and I kind of visited that. If there was any kind of compromise on it, it would be more involved with capital projects or benefit both.
Yeah.
And I think that would be the smart way to go about it. We have to be able to show that there's something in it for us.
Okay. So Aaron says they have Abby's for lunch. Does that mean pizza?
Yeah, I guess.
You don't partake in the lunch?
I quit taking lunches over there 4 years ago. It was $9.50 every week, and half the time I didn't want to eat it, so I started just bringing an apple and a bottle of juice, and I just have an apple and a bottle of juice. If I want to feel hungry afterwards, I go get something.
Okay.
But they're going to have pizza over there to get today. But when it came down to whatever the council wanted something, they said, we don't know where you're going to pay for it. I said, it's $467 a year. It goes back into the council's fund. What did you do with it? It's been 4 years, so there should be about $1,800 with my name written on it. And if I want to do something else for the council, I think we ought to be able to do that without
being
capping the budget too.
Yeah.
Whoa. I said, no, I want to know where.
Yeah.
I want to know where it came out. I said, you need to show that. Where we did not spend $400
something. You guys pay for your own lunch?
No.
Okay.
No, but it's budgeted.
Yeah.
And I said, so that money should stay in the council's coffers. That $400 should be there in the council coffers.
Oh, no.
If I didn't use it.
Oh, no. I'm sure it's been reappropriated.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if there's nothing else,
good meeting. We'll
see you in about half an hour.
Half an hour. How are you today, sir?
11:13.